The following program is an exclusive Disruption Networks production.
Get excited. It's the Electric Company Reunion Party, Friday, July 20th at Wakely, 700 Varick Street. That's right, 700 Varick Street, the old EC. We're getting the gang back together, and we're partying old EC style. Peter Prince and Moon Boo Lover will be providing the live entertainment. It's only a $5 cover at the door. Live broadcast from the D, raffles, games, prizes, and a few special announcements we're going to be making on this night. Get excited, because you know there ain't no party like an EC party, because an EC party don't stop. Friday, July 20th at Wakely's. See you there.
The Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley was born when three top producing agents with over 25 years of combined experience selling real estate joined forces to take real estate to the next level. We practice with honesty, integrity, and the knowledge to help make the buying and selling process easy and stress-free for all of our clients. We pledge to always make our clients our top priority from start to finish and even after the house is closed. We will always be a valued resource for information and assistance for our buyers and sellers. Our customers over the years have become not only past clients, but great friends. As we join hands together as the Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley, we look forward to serving our clients and our community and making a positive difference. You can reach us at 315-601-9630 for all of your real estate needs.
Hi, this is attorney Nick Passalacqua. The team of attorneys I have assembled at Passalacqua & Associates has been carefully hand-picked to include the best trial attorneys in the particular areas of the law that we practice. Have you been charged with DWI or any other crime? Members of our team include former assistant district attorneys, now fighting to protect your rights 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have you or someone you love been seriously injured in a motor vehicle accident? Members of the team at Passalacqua & Associates include former insurance defense attorneys, now fighting to ensure that you get every penny you're entitled to. If you need legal help quick, don't waste your time or money calling anyone else. Remember, for legal help quick, you better call Nick and the team at Passalacqua & Associates. 315-500-NICK or 315-500-6425 or visit cnytriallaw.com today.
Yo, law infidels, that's right. It's Hacker Hameen.
This is Al Schneer from the band Mo.
Hey, this is Corey Glover from Living Color.
And you're listening to EC Radio.
And you're listening to EC Radio.
Live on EC Radio with the Z-Man. So take the pizza out of your fat moron mouse. Sit back and listen before I give you a $5 face slap. You'll never forget, infidels. Yo, law.
Welcome to EC Radio Podcast. We would like to thank all of our sponsors for joining the Disruption team, and we hope that you will support all of our sponsors. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this program.
EC Radio, Disruption Networks. EC Radio, Disruption Networks.
Broadcasting from the Todd Williams and the Apple Box Video Productions Broadcasting Tower, it's EC Radio. What's up, everybody? We gave some love. I deserves all the love. He does, especially here around the D. He does. What's happening, everybody? Z here hanging.
He needs love around the D.
He needs love for his D, as a matter of fact. It's me, Z. How you doing, people? Hope you're enjoying your Thursday. It's Thursday today, right?
Yeah, all
thank
day.
You. Thursday. Thirsty Thursday. Joining me, as always, my man, the tag team partner, my broham, my man's in them, Chicken.
What up?
How you doing, bud?
What's going on, man?
We're waiting on the arrival of Amigo. He's coming in today.
Really?
Yeah, so the arterial's backed up a little bit.
I haven't seen him since the last time he was here.
Yeah, same here.
Only on the D.
When he did that?
Yep.
Only on the D.
I love when he does that shit. But yeah, he'll be here in a little bit. We had the big night over at the Saranac Brewery last night.
Oh yeah, how was that show?
Lucian, how you feeling? Pop body man.
It must have smelled
I mean
wonderful.
Nothing. Bumbleclot, man.
It must have smelled wonderful.
It was
there.
Great. It was awesome. It was a great show. I love the Jamaican Rastafarian vibe. I love them. Everybody's so happy and just in their zone, and all they want to do is smoke weed. And drink beer, of course. And delicious beer over there from our friends at Saranac Brewery. But last night was cool, man. Chicken, that was your night to go because it was like
of
more
course it was,
there was
go.
More women than men at that concert last night. There really was.
I believe it. Awesome. Everybody had a great time, and big ups to our peeps from Creative Concerts for putting on another dazzling
and it was
spectacular
beautiful
event.
Beautiful night for it, too.
Oh, it's a great night. The weather's been awesome, man.
Yeah. You can't complain. I mean, one a day you get rain.
Right.
And you get 1-2 days of rain, and that's good. That's what you need. You need more. You know,
indeed. Got the big show on Sunday, too, over there at Saranac with Dispatch. Dispatch has they were really popular back in the day. They were, like, on the same vein as, like, OAR, Dave Matthews type of thing. Big in that little realm. I know it's not your thing, but people like it, okay, chicken?
No, I get it. I understand.
Whatever. Anyway, so they haven't been relevant for a while. They broke up for a while, and then now they're coming back. And this is a band that has sold out Madison Square Garden consecutively.
Wow.
They're coming to Saranac Brewery. Big, big night this Sunday, July 15th with Dispatch. So get out there. Get your tickets at cctix.com for more information.
Didn't you say that was one of the top-selling shows this summer, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, at the brewery, for sure.
Yeah. That's
indeed. This is when everything starts kicking in. This is when you're going to start taking over a little bit more and more, and I'm going to be fading out a little less and less, unfortunately. But I got to work and get out there. And I'm actually going to deliver a lot of great content, too, when I'm out on the road.
Oh, yeah. You get some things planned.
I got some things planned, too. Some real big things planned. So we're going to have a lot of fun. But, Chicken's going to take over soon and do some thing. I'm going to line him up some guests, and he's got some things going, and get him all ready and prepped up for the D-line, which will be happening in a couple months, believe it or not.
Football season's coming.
Believe it or not, it's always football season, though. I feel like it's still, like, out there, and there's always gossip and drama and
news
surrounding the NFL.
Well, now you got Shady McCoy going up on charges of assault. Something to do with his girlfriend getting beat up.
Yeah, well, so there he goes again.
But then again, he was in Florida, so, like, I don't know how they put it.
No, that shit happens in hockey, all I'm saying. Anyway, so we got that going on. We've got a lot of things happening.
Speaking
though.
Of hockey, though.
Yeah.
Good
thinking, buddy. Duh, see, this is why I got you around, Chicken.
Together we form a half a brain.
Yes, we do. More of a quarter of a brain, but it's a quarter pounder. Anyways, you're talking about the blind hockey thing.
Yes.
Our friends from Cavi had just recently, just not even like 5-10 minutes ago, sent us out this press release that CABVI, the Central Association for Blind and Visually Impaired, CABVI, that's what they're called, our friends, are bringing in the very first blind hockey team to the area. Blind hockey.
That's got to be so freaking hard. Like,
right. This is this kind of blows my mind because there's going to be a game going on, and it's going to be held July 21st, and all the proceeds are going to be to benefit the USA blind hockey team.
Which is killed. Like,
there's a blind USA hockey. There's a blind hockey team. This blows me away.
I know they're hearing, you know, they could, but like, there's so much echo in a hockey rink. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When it hits the backboard, you know, it's like echoes. Like, how do you know where it's coming from? Like,
well, from what I'm reading in this press release, the president of CABVI or the president of rehabilitation was at a disabled hockey festival that took place. And the event welcomed players that were deaf, hard of hearing, warrior standing amputee, and blind and visually impaired. So it's a little bit of, I think it's a mixture of everything. But they're
really
putting
cool.
together the USA blind hockey team, and they're looking to propose to bring the very first USA blind hockey training camp to Central New York. How cool is that?
That's really cool.
This is neat. This would be interesting to watch. In fact, we should go check it out.
This is a hockey town.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping we could check this out. It's happening July 21st at the Whitestown Community Center, where there's going to be some local hockey players playing against this blind hockey team.
It's really impressive. I'm like really like.
There's no, like, you need hand-eye coordination to play hockey. So it's all hand-hand coordination.
I mean, then they put the tracers on the
hand-to-ear coordination
on the puck, so you can actually follow it on TV because it moves so fast.
I don't know, but this will be very interesting. July 21st, check it out if you want to go see some blind hockey, and all the benefits to the $7 ticket at the Whitestown Community Center on July 21st goes to the USA blind hockey team. $7, it's only $7.
Maybe it's a special puck. Like, it gives off a sound.
I don't know. We should look into this. In fact, let's get our friends from CABVI on the show so they can talk about it.
I'd like to get somebody from the training camp.
Yeah.
You know,
or one of the players.
Yeah.
So get out of that, Pledgy. Wow. Interesting news coming out of Utica. A lot of things happening. And then we were chatting back and forth, talking about Amigo, and actually he's pulling up right now, but he was stuck in the arterial. There's a lot of construction going on around town.
Yes.
Which is awesome. It's progress, people.
It is, but my only complaint is, and when you're working on the arterial, put the change lane signs a little bit more ahead, so it gives people a heads up, because what happens is people get stuck in the other lane. Next thing you know, you're like, oh, crap, I got to get over, and they're cutting people off, and people are yelling and swearing at them. You know, give a brother a little heads up. They got to put them a little further.
I love this. I think we're having two guests today.
Door's not locked, is it?
No, it's not.
This want me to lock it?
Yes.
What's
I
up?
Love this right now. We got a guest today. Not only do we get Amigo, but we get the presence of one Brian Edwards. This is exciting. Hi, Brian.
Hey.
Good to see you. Westcott Security, my man. You guys look like you just got off the golf course.
Right? You know, they're undercover.
Yeah. Brian could pass for an undercover cop if he wanted to. Sit in this one, actually. Or sit next to Chicken, either one. And then we have Ant. Or sit here. Sit here. Yeah, yeah. You sit here, brother. You're a first timer here. You sit right there, my man Brian. Good to see you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Nice to have some time.
Yeah, get right up in there. Don't be shy. Grab that microphone.
You got headphones if you like it.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy? Good to see you, man.
That's it.
Nice. Yeah, if you want to wear them, you can wear them. That's sometimes we drop them in there. Mr. Amigo, we had the big night last night at Revolution. Anthony, you're into the band, aren't you?
Oh, in your 5 minutes, he breaks the microphone.
I know, right?
You're
those guns, bro.
That's your thing, right? Revolution?
Yeah, I saw Revolution. Revolution's my thing.
Yeah.
I saw him at Red Rocks last September for my first show at Red Rocks. I was actually front row to see Revolution, you know, on the historical landmark of the Red Rocks Amphitheater. It was pretty awesome.
How many times have you been there? A couple times now?
Twice now.
Twice? Beautiful amphitheater.
Revolution for the first time, and then 311 and Wu-Tang for the second time.
Yeah, man.
That's what's up.
Wow. That's a great double bill.
Yeah, right?
Good stuff. But, yeah, we had a good time last night.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Great band. I like that opener.
The Common Kings?
No, the Zionai and Grouch.
Zionai and Grouch.
I saw them at the Westcott. I worked the show at the Westcott Theater 3-4 years ago, and they do this great cover of, like, The Clash's The Guns of Brixton. It's called, like, Trigger. Killer, man. I still play that on a loop, like, every week.
Yeah.
So to see him on that opening bill, I walked over and said, you guys, no, we're the crew, but still good. You know, I thought they killed it. So all the music was great from, like, the first note.
Band is just checking in, and he goes, ha, security show. I feel really safe right now, I'll tell you that. Really safe. What do you think the combined weight in this room is right now?
Oof. We definitely got a good front line here.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. And you're the quarterback, Amigo.
Well, I'm not a D-end over here.
Nah, you're the quarterback.
Big D on the end.
You got the arm.
Big D on the end. Oh, Clanza comes in with a dick joke right off the bat.
He comes out swinging.
Hilarious. Good to see you guys, though. I'm glad you came in. Brian, you're super busy. Always out there protecting people, if you will.
Yeah,
doing your thing.
Yeah, we're first responders, essentially, you know?
We are. Yeah, that's a great term, precisely what we are. Only we get all the way down to the boo-boos that the EMSs won't touch.
Right.
We're everybody else's responder. So.
Yeah, somehow we got to get them to the EMS, you know?
Right.
Yeah. We're the field triage.
Somebody's got to walk through the mosh pit to break it up.
Yep. Yep.
You know, we could sit here and go through, like, the history and all that, you know, but I really would love to hear some good stories. You got to have some great stories, man. The years you've been bouncing and working in strip clubs and then on to doing Westcott Security, you've got to have some doozies. I mean, I'm sure you could do a 5-hour podcast alone just in the shit that you've seen.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's, you know, with there's so many stories that are out there, you kind of just got to, you know, maybe find something that would be a relatable topic, and then we'll just... Oh, we got a story about that, and then we could just expand, you know, later. You know, we could even start with a mowdown.
I want a good one from Brian, though. Brian's got to have some doozies. My man has probably, can only imagine.
I feel like it's all of them kind of become the same thing, right? You work so many of them. You know, you the first naked person you run across is who's partying too much and doesn't realize that, you know, certain drugs don't mix well. and or there's limits to everything. We run into a lot of that, you know. But after years of doing it, and you know, you start to sense patterns. You know, somebody explained to me why 98% of the naked people I've seen in my whole career are dudes. They're the ones who just feel like they got to show it all, and they're running around, and they're screaming their love for popcorn or pop culture, or you know, what I mean. And there's never a girl who's running around being just as. I feel like they have some sort of internal sense of shame that overrides everything, including like that party moment.
Yeah,
you either have to be knocked out or you're able to keep your clothes on.
What do you think like the percentage of women that you've had it? That were naked, probably zero.
Yeah, zero. No, I wish
there's
I had,
a few.
I wish, you know, I have a few. There's
but they're not the ones you want to see.
Put that away, baby, please.
It's like when you go to a nude beach and you're like, there's gonna be naked people everywhere, and you're like, ah, this isn't what I wanted.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, this is gonna take two blankets. We need two blankets.
We definitely invested in cuffs.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
For the naked chicks?
Yeah, for anybody naked. You don't want to get anybody.
It's an option.
You don't fight anybody naked. You don't want them to touch you.
And you have though, amigo, huh?
I've had to fight a few people naked. Yeah. It's pretty tough.
Yeah, there's.
But why were you naked?
Yeah. I wasn't naked.
If you got naked, they would have backed down.
Yeah, right? They would, man.
Put the bat down. You want to get naked, motherfucker? You want to get naked too?
I had a friend of mine, a quick story. A friend of mine used to get naked a lot when he got wasted. And one day we were over at Scorch's house, the old radio DJ.
Yep.
And my buddy's already three sheets to the wind the afternoon, hanging out. And all of a sudden he looks at Scorch. He goes, I'll show you the fucking naked ride home, Scorch. And he just starts taking off all his clothes. But, yeah, that's I had to tell
Remember Devil really Sam?
He's another one, huh?
Yeah. We'd be sitting at a party. All of a sudden he comes out with a trench coat on, gets on the table. He goes, I am the crow. And he pulls out, and he's like total mangina. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? And then he just jumps off the porch and gone.
Before the goat became the goat.
Yeah.
But you've had a few naked encounters, too, like where people you had to get physical with,
I've
right?
I've had to get physical with some naked people. It's when you say it like that, yeah. You know, there's one that chased me with an axe before.
What?
There's definitely been some crazy times out there.
You had a naked guy chase you with an axe.
Yes.
Okay.
I won't say where. Okay. I don't want to incriminate any kind of like festival, but there was you know, the people that kind of just go too hard too long, or you know, that's why we say it's a marathon, not a sprint,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, that is the truth. It's you really have to, you know. I feel like they should have, like, the pill selection box. Like, this is for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, if they planned a little ahead like that, yeah, I think their game would be a lot more enjoyable. They might remember more of the weekend. You know, it might be a little more memorable.
I mean, carpe diem, you know what I mean?
With four appearance tickets and, you know, like, where's my car? You know, that's kind of, yeah, that's pretty relevant.
I'm sure you had a few of those, too.
Yeah, sure.
But then there was that one time I was recorded on the Matt Major show. And I think I've talked about the guy's name is Chris. You know, the guy that was masturbating out in the woods down in the ravine. I had to fish him out.
Oh yeah, I remember that story too. I mean, yeah. Was like that the Paper Mill Island one?
No, that wasn't the paper. That was Sterling. Sterling Stage. Okay. I had to fish the naked dude out of the woods.
How'd you fish him out? Put a bag of Doritos at the end of the line or something?
Well, I had to, you know, basically be like the voice of reason, because he, you know, when you're on drugs and you can't really like see anything that's like too far in front of you, and there's a voice that's coming from the distance in the trees, you know, and he's sitting there just going to town on his dick, just it's like, come on out, man, let's go.
He's like, I'm trying.
Here we go, man. Come on out. You know, so we're trying to, you know, coax him out, but then he was just like, I can? Dick in hand? And it's like,
asked you that?
Yeah, man. And I was like, sure, buddy, dick in hand. Come on out. So he ended up just like, you know, walking in somewhat of a line. He's walking through the woods. He's, you know, his literally just dirty, scraped up, scrapped. He's bleeding. His toenails are kind of like pushed up a little bit. Like, this guy went running through the woods and didn't give a fuck about like his own well-being. And he's literally just walking through the woods, and then he gets to a clearing, and then he just bolts into the back parking lot.
That.
There was a video.
There was. No, there is.
There is. I'm the one who actually filmed it.
It's funny to watch Dangler run after him. It was just even better when
you sent Dangler after him.
I sent Dangler after him.
Seems fitting.
So I sent Dangler after a naked guy out in the back parking lot, big grassy knoll parking lot. Yeah. And as soon as he gets far enough away, what's he start doing again? Masturbating. He just starts jerking it off and. I remember
how that started, though, right?
Yeah, he had a boyfriend.
It's funny because, like, that guy wasn't even the crazy guy at the beginning because
that wasn't the crazy guy at the beginning.
His naked boyfriend who were trying to restrain from walking in a fire and a few other things. And as we're holding him down, that guy started trying to suck his buddy's dick.
You were there, man.
I was right there. That's when we were like, get the cuffs.
They probably thought you were flirting.
Well, it's like when you looked at him, you could see the back of his skull.
I remember,
his eyes were like
Mark
discs.
Worked for us, and Mark had all of that in his face the way he was holding them.
Yep, we.
So I remember. Yeah, that was. So the naked guy is just like the cherry on top of the whole thing. Like, so they must have staggered when they took him. Like one guy took it, waited an hour, and said, "Well, this isn't so bad." And the other guy said, "Sure," but an hour later, that turned on both of them. They both caught an ambulance. And, generally, we're really nice to them, obviously. That's half the job is making sure all the campers and the concert goers get home in one piece as much as they can. So
right.
We see them safely to an ambulance and make sure they're not going to cut themselves up or do anything crazy or, rage through tents, which we've seen people do,
Oh, yeah.
So
I imagine you'd probably get a lot of people going into the wrong tents.
There's been some times.
I feel like that's a regular thing. Somebody wakes up in somebody else's tent. Whether it becomes an issue, is not always a problem. Because people are like, just get out, and they're like, oh, I didn't realize we're all sleeping in the other tent. So,
yeah, it's like, you basically just set up like a.
But when you stay for breakfast and you're fishing beer out of the cooler, then you should have left.
I mean, it's like, it's always nice to like make new friends, but like inopportune times or, 3 a.m., when someone's trying to sleep and you think someone's trying to break into your tent, then it's a fist fight,
Right.
A lot of people don't really think about the things that happen like that because it's all this man-made city, nylon ghetto.
And like, I could just see, if somebody tried getting into your tent with you sitting there with your girl, you're going to take it like a threat. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I know what I got. Someone must have been seeing what I had, Mm-hmm. No one really thinks about, the other person's mentality, but, when someone kind of, enters your tent and then you just start swinging on them, it's their own fault, but it really sucks that's like the punishment that comes from it. But then you got to security comes in and then you got to figure out what happened and everyone's all heated and it's nothing but a bunch of noise and you got to kind of disseminate the situation. And, that 3 seconds of lapsed judgment turn into like an assault charge. And so,
right.
And then the cops come and that one little thing, turns into like a 2.5 hour ordeal.
Chances are they're drunk or on some kind of drug and it just manifests.
Right? Like, the guy in the tent says, oh, this guy's on drugs. The guy who's in the tent is looking at this guy going, oh, they're on drugs too. And then we show up and we're like, oh, everybody's on drugs. We have to figure out whether it was a sip of beer or an ounce of mushrooms. Something's happening and then we have to figure out. So that's fun, right? That's, it's not like, we do it because we like it. Honestly, that's the truth. Nobody's in it to get rich. It's fun to be a part of the event, right? The band plays its part. The sound company plays it. The vendors, everybody has their part. And our job is concert safety. And we really enjoy it. We love the exposure, the backstage access, hanging out with Uzi. I met you doing this, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We became friends. And we've been fast friends ever since.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tons of laughs, crazy events, me and you.
So, oh, yeah.
I mean, it happens like that. And I got that circle keeps rippling out. So, we're a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not center stage, but
no, you're on the front lines though.
You're not having
we're all cogs in the machine,
right? At the end of the day, you're not going to do it without us because we're there to make sure everybody leaves.
And safety
same way
is
they came in,
security right? is the ones that got to deal with the dicks.
Yeah, and safety's right. the key.
I'll be doing that tonight.
We get a lot of extra love. I've seen this security profession take a lot of my harder looking associates. Let's just call them that. And really turn those guys into Casanovas, man. Their charm steps up. They get a lot more exposed to lonely girls or going to concerts by themselves. I'm not saying that's a thing, but they've done pretty well. I've seen it, really turn, their whole personality around. All of a sudden, they're extroverts, and they're kind of, suave with everybody. So, Yeah, man. You don't always get all the hate. Sometimes you get all the love.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
There's definitely some love.
There's a lot of good politicking in the job.
Well, you guys are
That's
like
a good word for it.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are very top-notch and very professional when it comes to your job. I mean, rarely is there any problems, first of all. And
right.
when there is, you know, you're very quick to diffuse it and usually diffuse it verbally. I haven't seen an altercation in a while.
Verbal,
you
know, judo, right?
Yeah,
when you guys are at the helm.
Right.
You're a verbal ninja.
Yeah.
You got to be. Linguistical master.
Yeah. I mean, and I like the Nylon Ghetto. That's actually be a great name for a band.
Nylon yeah, Ghetto. Basically. Yeah, just some tense shit.
Tense shit. Yeah. What did you prefer, like festivals over like one dayers, or does it matter? It just doesn't, just want to be
you
a
know,
part of it.
I like the festival vibe just because, you know, these are, I want to say, seasoned concert goers. And, you know, it's like these are people that, you know, really live for the music kind mm-hmm. of thing, because they live on the land, you know, supporting all these acts or, you know, whatever festival vibe that they bring. Because it's a lot of give and take. It's a lot of utopian approach, you know. So it's like a lot of people that leave their bullshit at the door and then only want to hang out for the music. And then, you know, they have only their friends that they have through the music. Whereas like these one time shows where it's like this big exertion where it's like someone's got like their whole suite release and then that's it. You know, where it's like people can gradually use it at the festival, whereas, like, you know, the people that don't normally go out to concerts and they try to have fun, you know, we'll say, like, John Mellencamp, for an example. You know, it's like when he goes on tour and these people that don't normally go to concerts and then all of a sudden they go and then they party down in Party Town like it's, like, back in the 1980s and they haven't partied like that in a long time, and then all of a sudden they all start dropping, whereas, like, at the festival, you know, they're very isolated incidents because people are actually there for the music and, like, really absorbing the...
True.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Nobody's driving home, too.
That's yeah.
A, yeah, so they...
That is a great point. I mean, yeah, something that I probably wouldn't even have thought of, because I go to a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that, like, especially some of these older bands that...
Yeah, Poison, you know, yeah, Whitesnake...
People getting,
like, Foreigner, you know, like a lot of these people.
I went to
were
Bob Seger,
seasoned concert goers back in the day, but now they're coming back out. They're on their blood pressure medicine. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oxygen tanks.
You know, it's like they had their conversation before they come to the doors. Their hip surgery and knee surgery. You know what I mean? So it's like these people are all fucked up coming into the door, and then they party down like it's, you know, 1986, mm-hmm. and then, you know, with the mixture, they're. We're calling ambulances. We're calling EMS. We got to get defibrillators.
Or you get the new popular band that's like everybody wants to come out and see, and now you get all the rookies coming out for that. The young mm-hmm. the young bloods out there just going out there, you know, trying to cause problems, getting
country.
Fucked up.
Country, man.
Country is the it's popular, and it has a really young base of
rednecks.
Of, oh, man.
It's some bald eagle drunks, man. That's what I've been calling them lately.
It's a young base.
Show. Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
They all have the same last name, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it's a family tree of a telephone pole.
It's not your sophisticated audience.
More people
okay?
than teeth.
Come on, some of my family likes country.
Yeah.
It's about as deep as a teaspoon.
It's a shortcut for thinking,
you know,
if you listen to country.
I feel like there's a
today's country.
Today's, yes.
Of that genre that does come out to pregame and get a little obnoxious, knowing that they're going to go home and not be like that anywhere else. I feel like... All music gets that, but just that, I work a lot of shows. That seems to be the one that has the guys that are so quick to pick a fight or mm-hmm. or so quick to get, you know, upset or have some sort of drama. We have more calls for country shows than anything. It's but mm-hmm. you know, there's wonderful people to go to country shows, man. You know,
there is.
You know, some of them give us jobs, yeah. So.
Yes, they do. They do make us work.
But like when we went to Motown last year, was like. My first Motown experience. I mean, I went a few years back, but I didn't stay in for the whole thing. But
you can't use last year's Motown as like a precedent.
No,
for what Motown
I because
is.
I can because
it was wet.
It was horribly wet, horribly wet, and it was like the muddiest thing I've seen in a long time. And these people were like trucking along.
It
they
was fun,
they were
though.
Smiling. They're having a great time. They didn't give a shit.
No.
You know what I mean? They're there for the entire weekend to have a good time. And the people that were there sticking it out were true fans and true people that, like, have that experience. So
people love Mo, man.
So they...
You know, it's just like...
They knew how to conduct themselves at a show.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
And they all have the right gear. You know, like, they're veterans, you know. Mo fans are cagey. They've been around. They go to all the shows. And they've certainly been to a Mo down. And we've all had a wet day or two at Modon's in the past. So they bring the duck boots, you know, they bring the right rain gear, and they're pleasant. They yeah. never lose a smile the whole time.
They're veterans.
That. Yes, exactly.
You know, they know what they're doing. They're prepared.
They're right. seasoned.
Yeah, if there were
the ones with the wagons are the veterans.
Right.
The wagons.
Well, the wagons and the boots too. You gotta, got you yeah, gotta they, hand it to the ones with the boots.
Gotta have a good pair of rain boots
you
out.
You gotta
there.
Have the wagon.
Very fashionable statement.
You're right about the wagon. You got to have that wagon. I 100% agree on that.
Yep.
Brian, you've done security for like many, many acts throughout your career. You've been doing this a long time. Is there a good pinch me moment that you got in there? Like, I can't believe I'm walking this guy around or something like that.
I mean, yeah, you know, there's a couple of them.
Yeah.
You know, I think the most recent one and the most powerful one is I got a chance to do some driving for a Bad Company at Del Lago last year. You know, like I'm definitely a little older than a couple of you guys, and you know, Bad Company was a serious band in my youth, and Paul Rodgers, and you know, Zeppelin, that whole like genre and age group was perfect for me, and you know, just to be able to meet the band and hang out with them for a couple of days, because you know, Del Lago wasn't set up for them, so you know, they need transportation to and from Syracuse, and just kind of hang out and watch, and had some you know, great side stage view of the show, and you know, the guy was just fantastic. They were all down to earth, and close your eyes, and they're right on, man. Best show. Still get chills thinking about it.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then Afro Man.
Afro
Man? I was
younger.
I was running this bar. So listen, I was running this bar in Syracuse, and it was my night to manage. It was Bleachers, you know. It's it's been closed for a while, but pretty popular place, 7 days a week. We did live music, and, you know, we were known as the after spot. We'd stay open a little later, and you know, he played somewhere in town, and, you know, he came there afterwards, got some food. It was like 12 of us in there. He stayed the whole night. We all hung out till like 6 a.m. in the morning, went to his hotel room. You know, great stories from that. I'm probably not going to get into them right now, but, you know, it was fun. And then like 4 or 5 years later, we did the same thing up in Watertown. We ran into him, and we worked the show up there, and you know, he remembered all of us. He's like, hey, you know, it's just like one of those just like, you know, you're the guy. You know, like you're still making something out of what you're doing. And, you know, you're really having a lot of fun. So that guy, I really like him. Still to this day, man.
Nice.
Like he took his hit. And he's still hitting it. You
know? He's still hitting
he's
the still hit. Hitting
he's it. Working it.
He's still token on that.
It's too busy. He got in trouble for hitting people on stage. Right?
Did he? Oh, I saw that.
That's
too,
right. Yeah. Afro Man.
Did he actually get? Did he get in trouble for that?
I think he did get in trouble for it. He was banned from a lot of shows,
which
or
is
some
bullshit.
Because venues.
Because you know what we seen happen to Dimebag Darrell. You know, somebody rushing the stage with a gun or whatever. Like
super. You seem just guy, man. I'm kind of. You know, when I heard about that, I was just going.
If you see somebody run up on stage, I mean. And you're performing, and you don't know, and you just hear about that, I'm decking them, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to take my chances.
Yeah. Look at the guy from Lamb of God that got stuck in jail for how many years? Well,
yeah.
It was for almost a year, wait, in Czechoslovakia,
oh, yeah.
or however long it was.
The rapper Kevin Gates, he was he got in trouble for kicking somebody in their face.
Yeah.
Well, kicked their phone in their face and ended up doing a whole bunch of shit, but he ended up going to jail for assault because she kept grabbing at him on stage, you know? But it's like... I can understand. There was that one, like, Zac Brown Band. There was some dude that jumped on stage, and, like, the guy on the side stage security did a spear. Boom! Took him right out. You know, what a great video.
But I saw
like,
that.
You know, it's like we live in a day and age where, like, you don't know what's going to happen
you see
when
that football
someone
games.
Makes it to the stage.
People streaking at football games.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And baseball games.
Anybody getting on any field, man, they're cued into that.
Yep.
There's a jail in the bottom of every stadium. You know, they know right where they're taking you as soon as they
What's
get
the
you.
Dick yeah. of that, right, like, yeah. tackle the dude? I think he...
I think he's a little too old for it.
No, chicken. Back in the day. Like, somebody ran on the field, and he just freaking blasted him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm sure he did.
I've seen a few football players turn and, like, level the guy. You know, like, you know, like every other season, somebody will get on there, and you'll see some ESPN Sports Center reel, and you know, some kickoff return guy just catches him and just squares him up.
I want to see a Bill Laimbeer clothesline.
those are good ones, man.
Right on. Yeah.
There's no basketball like that anymore.
No,
there really
definitely
isn't.
Not.
No,
there really is.
That was like
that was the goon era, right?
Yeah,
there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was.
The Pistons were just
the bad boys.
Yeah,
they were the
them
bad
and the
boys.
Celtics were brawling like every game
all the time, and then
Knicks and the Heat.
Knicks and the Heat.
I mean,
you Knicks
have
and the
a
Bulls.
Lambeer and a McHale battle like all the time.
All the time,
and they're all like 9 feet tall, so those elbows are like right about the edge of the rim.
And you got to throw the Lakers in there too. I mean, Kurt Rambis was getting the shit kicked out of him back then.
We're on the basketball subject. Do you follow it all right now, today?
Yeah, absolutely, man. The LeBron thing's a big thing. The Kawhi Leonard, did I say that right?
You think LeBron would have made it back then, though? Like with those
yeah, because he's got like that.
Size, he's massive.
He's got the size, and he's got that first step, right? I mean, you all see how
But when you get an elbow to the jaw.
He's you know, tough, when you, man. He's,
when you got a Rodman, like...
He's massive.
Because, I mean, him, Rodman and Karl Malone used to go at it. And Karl Malone was a big dude. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And it would take him out of his game. You know, Karl Malone would get out of his game because he's dealing with the worm the whole time. And that's what he would do. He'd get in your skull, and he'd start fights with you, and he would, like, gnaw at you and get really right get your under head. Your skin. Like, he played dirty.
Yeah, but, I mean, Rodman never had, like, the high points per game, but he grabbed 30 rebounds because, you know, he's up in you, kind of like a Lance Stevenson now. You know, he's it's not necessarily got this real pure game, and he's shooting a high percentage, but he's up there blowing in LeBron's ear and tapping his
elbow
out.
Exactly.
Doing all that grade school stuff he did in the schoolyard.
It's a mental thing.
But it plays, man. It does. It takes even LeBron out. They almost lost that series.
It just goes to show you these players will take any kind of edge,
yeah, man.
You know, to
well,
get
you
ahead.
You got it, man.
You're a
you
pro,
gotta.
Though.
You got to get the press.
You don't want to lose.
You'll take that technical before you'll go home for the season.
And Rodman was the, like, unknown on that Detroit team.
Didn't he turn fast, though? You know,
yeah,
like
he did.
The workaholic kid, the All-American kid, man. He was so young. And then one day, he just started with one piercing, then a tattoo. Like, 3 months later,
banging Madonna.
Yeah, his face looks like a tackle box,
start
man. He's got, like, 30 piercings. He's like a Art Deco, and, you know what I mean? He's just...
Yeah.
Looks like walking hepatitis.
But his game was up, man. He was still pulling, you know, 20 rebounds a game or whatever
it
was.
4 points.
That's all the Bulls needed him for, man. Just like
that's be it. And the Pistons.
And get Mike the ball, man.
And didn't he end up in did he end up in L.A.?
I don't know, but I think he's
Spurs,
the one who just brokered that nuke deal between North Korea and the U.S. I mean, if you ask him, I think he thinks he's responsible for that. So
yeah.
I want to give him credit, man.
We ain't getting into all that.
He was a lunch pail player, but he was he was an asshole. You know,
sure,
like,
man.
That's, and that's what it that's, like. If you put him against a LeBron, I think he gets in LeBron's head.
Is it defensive, like, synonymous with asshole? Does anybody here think of any sport we can think of? Like, he was the nicest defensive player I've ever met because that guy is not the nicest. The
Who's
defensive
that?
Player is just the most aggressive guy out there.
Yeah, you have
he's
to be.
Never the nice guy.
It's your job.
So, yeah. You know, I mean, sure, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
That's his calling.
He owned it.
Yeah.
Owned it. Right on. Joining us in the studio today, and I'm pretty pumped, man. You're a pleasant surprise today, Brian.
Thanks. I've been you've invited me on here a few times.
So yeah.
I appreciate the
It's been
the
a couple invitations. Well,
it's not like I don't want to come on your show.
Oh, absolutely. I know. Yeah. I know.
We got a... Pete Connors checking in. Said, Sup, fools.
He's speaking of fool. Nah, Pete's good, man. You got a lot of good people that have your back over at Westcott.
Yeah, man. I have a fantastic staff.
You really do.
You know, I mean, the nice thing about this company is we're still small, and we're Central New York. And, you know, I mean, almost 95% of the people work from here, 1 degree of separation. They're my friends, or they're friends of my friends.
Right.
Somebody knows somebody. It's like, I feel like that's important to have that type of, like, real close-in communication. And a lot of times we get the family reference, and, you know, and then you get the cousins that are cliquish, like, out here in Utica. They're like, oh, we're the Utica Club of Westcott. You know, I'm crazy. Ray, there's a shout-out for you. You know, so.
Oh, yeah, she tries to make it territorial.
No, go Whitesboro or wherever she is.
Ray makes
Westmoreland.
She makes it territorial.
No, it's just it's always a Utica thing. You know how it goes
in
Utica.
It is.
But I'm out here now, so I must have switched clans.
Yeah, right. I know. You jumped ship,
man. I started in Syracuse, and I went I'm out here. So.
It's that saying, you know, you can take the boy out of Utica, but the Utica you can't take out of the boy.
No, it originated here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't lose a lot of people. So when we hire new people, they get to work around 6 or 7 nice guys. You figure out real fast, you know, what you have to do. And we know real fast whether you belong. So it's
how many
good.
People you got with now?
Oh, I don't know.
Over 100.
Right? It's got to be 100.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I mean, we probably lost 100 over the years.
Yeah,
but,
true.
But, you know, I mean, you know, staffing's always up and down. We're seasonal. You know, what we have now, we'll have a third of, you know, come September. You know, the real season for us. Although we're busy year-round, we do have a few things to keep us busy. It's nowhere near the volume from, like, you know, St. Paddy's Day through Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the.
And
it's summertime. It's all outdoors. You guys are all working the same schedules.
And they can license right through you.
Oh, they get licensed through the state. We just put them.
Well,
in
I mean, like the training courses and don't.
Sure,
you
we're happy to help them out, man. Yeah. We, you know, almost anybody. You can Google or web search the New York State 8-hour security course, and averages about $60. And there's probably 10 places locally, including MVCC and a few other places.
MVCC, BOCES.
Yeah, you know, I ask you, you want to come work with us? Go out and go do it. Go get your course in and get your license, and just give us a shot. You know, come see us, and you know. And, if you want to work some concerts in the summer and have a good time and hang out with Z when he's not on the radio, it's like, you know.
Yeah.
But then he's working at the show.
Yeah, yeah. He is.
I'm all over the place.
Man about town, man. Yeah, so.
The man of many hats, that Z over there.
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of hats. But we have a great little circle of friends that. Yeah. And it's a big circle, and the circle gets bigger and bigger, I feel.
Like, it's a good sprawl. We're Utica, man. Yeah. We got a good stranglehold on things out here.
We really, really do. And it's good. And you're all over at the Lakeview Amphitheater. We've got Saranac Brewery, right?
Yeah, we're out there, man.
Yeah, we do a lot of Central New York breweries. A lot of Central New York stuff. We do. Yeah, all the SMG stuff has been really a blessing to us. So we do the Lakeview and the War Memorial and
a lot of county things, school things.
Reaching out to us a little bit more. It's nice to be active in all the communities. So,
excellent.
Yeah, so it's all the beauty of this is that we do so many different things in a 2-week period. You'll go from working a theater to working a concert that was a cornfield yesterday and is going to be a cornfield tomorrow. You know what I mean? Or you'll be working a 3-day event or a Polish fest. And you know what I mean? As you look back over your last 2 weeks, there's 300 memories you can't even file right away. So, I mean, it's nice. It's a great job. You're it's diverse. You're all over the place. And you get to work with a bunch of great people.
Yeah, and you know,
see a different class of people at every show, night after night.
It's not the same monotonous thing over and over again. Everything's new.
No, never. Never,
you know,
never.
Like a lot of times we're bringing, like, someone else's dream to life. You know, like, someone wants to get... Like, we get involved with a lot of these people that are trying to, like, get their, you know, their staple in the community, their name off the ground. You know, it's like they want to get a festival going and have it go annually. And then, you know, it's like they call us out because they know that we specify in this kind of stuff. And then we help them out as much as we can and give them pointers because, you know, we do this every night kind of thing. So it's like it's very communal for us as well. It's like even though we are the security company, it's like we're people first, you know what I mean? We want to see them, you know, get their thing up and running just as much as we want to keep our thing going.
Now, have you ever done, like, been hired for, like, private parties or something?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's great because, like, you don't want your friends to have to, like, monitor the party, you know what I mean? Because then it takes somebody out, you know, not partying, you know, they're not having a good time. You know, they're going to watch the house.
We've been hired for designated driver, and we've watched wedding baskets and we've done 20,000 person amphitheaters. I feel like the whole spectrum has really been good to us. That's the nice thing about all of our staff. You know, when you travel so much and you do so many different things, you know, their personal skill sets grow. I mean, we really have some of the finest staff in Central New York doing this. They might not pass your first physical test when you look at them, but the second you see them do their job and stuff, you know, they're really up for the task and, you know, they're being trained well. So, again, the more you do this, you know, the more you can just work anything quick as you can and, you know, you look like you're the best at it. So,
what made you get in this? Just because you like the whole rock and roll atmosphere, the vibe, wanted to be a part of things?
No, I mean, it just kind of happened. You know, I've been working in bars since I was a kid. You know, I was 18 to drink when I was younger. So those bouncing gigs and house parties and stuff added up pretty fast. And I got my 20s. I ran a club. And there's a bunch of security guys, you know, when the licensing thing came around, you know, we had to make that right. And that crew of guys, we started working with another company. And then, you know, one day I said, you know, I've got enough years doing this. Maybe we'll give it a shot. And we already had been, you know, we knew some people in the industry mutually. So I wasn't sure we were going to get any work. But you do a couple good jobs and they string themselves together. And the next year they call you back. And over the years, it's, you know, we don't advertise. We don't have an ad anywhere for you to find. You can't, I mean, we don't really need one.
Do you have a website?
No, we're just actually right now developing a website with Joe Sweet.
As we speak,
there's another meeting going on that we bounce from because, no offense, Joe, but you're putting me to sleep. You know? It was, you know, that's not for me. Actually, me and Joe were out in the back talking gardening because I'm trying to grow some corn.
Uh-huh.
So he knows less than I do, and it was just as fun. So we had a good time out there. And we learned stuff. So
big ups to our boy Joey.
But yeah, you know, you can't find us, and you know, we have more work than we need, and that's always a good feeling, you know. So we can pick and choose a lot. We don't do bars, you know. We try to stay out of that type of thing, which is nice to progress from it.
Yeah,
nothing against them, but you know, in the beginning, that's what you do. Uh-huh. You know, so you know, we feel like we've grown into the premier company in Central New York. We work for all types of different promoters and venues, and I think I'm not allowed to name them, and I won't, but, you know, it's nice to be to be able to go all over the place. You know,
yeah, we're definitely getting
city,
a lot of exposure.
North to south, east to west, it's always something different, and we're catching calls every day.
Yeah. And it's not just like big, huge, bulky guys, you know.
No, not at all. We have a lot of ladies. Actually, I feel like their skill set's better.
Right.
You know, because they, well, you know, first their approach is different, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, even if I'm a drunk and I've had, well, I don't know why I call everybody drunks, but if I had six people behind me that were irritating me and six people in front of me that were irritating me, and I've been out in the sun and you come up on me and you're irritating me, it's probably not going to go as well.
And he's the 10th person to irritate the shit out of
me. As if you come up on this old lady who's doing her job, or a young lady who's doing her job, and is just being like, hi, can I help you? And show me your pockets. And it's a big diffuser. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, people have a way to tone themselves down around whatever's in front of them, you know. And then if that young lady has a problem, she's quick to reach over her shoulder and get Anthony here, who'll quickly find out this is a real problem, who'll call me on the radio, and then we'll go from there. It's kind of like it's all communication. And
it's a little more comforting when a woman approaches you. Like, if you're really sick and like, you're vomiting on the ground. And like,
they're so, you know, caring, right? There's
right.
That mothering complex.
When a woman addresses you, like, it brings out that mother feeling. Like, they feel a little more comfortable. When a guy comes up, they feel like they might be in trouble. I feel
sure.
Like, you know, that more authoritative type of voice.
Sure, man. It's a, you know, funny thing, I get a lot of feedback. Like, our newer shirts, you know, we wear, you know, we put staff on the back, and back in the old days we put security on it, but, you know, I mean, it's kind of like you put staff on it, it's more welcoming to people. Like, if you go into a place and you see even a big fella, a couple big strong, they have staff on the back, you might ask them, like, hey, where's my seat, where's the bathroom? Mm-hmm. But if you see a security across it, it's one-dimensional. You know, they're there to take care of problems and troubles. You probably won't approach them. So, you know, we like that. That's a big part of what makes us what we are. So, you know, we're always accessible to everybody. And we probably do have a lot of that information.
See, I like that approach because, yeah, like, you know, when I work at a bar, I'm always, hi, how are you? I'm, you know, have a good night. Like, I want to, like, interact with the person for multiple reasons. I want to see how drunk they are. I want to see, are they going to look away? Are they going to be sketchy?
Sure.
And then, you know, it also, like, diffuses them right off the bat. Like you said,
right.
You know, you're not, like, separating yourself from security. You know, like, hey, how are you? Have a good night. You know.
No, it's like the customer service aspect.
Right.
It's like when someone walks into the store, you know, it's like if you greet them within the first, you know, couple seconds, they're least likely to steal something. You know, so it's
right.
Like, you know, when the.
I better not be an asshole. The guy was nice.
Thing? That is really a real like thing, man. I've worked in retail.
Those types of.
So it's like, you know, obviously.
Restore my faith in humanity. Yeah. That's a real thing.
It is a real thing, yeah. But
hi,
you try.
You? Please don't steal from
don't
me.
Steal from
don't
me.
Steal
from
me.
It's like if you greet them at the door, you know, and you get kind of give them like a good, you know, wellness or evaluation, you know, subconsciously, but you let them, you know, feel welcome, you know, they're probably least likely to either start a problem or, you know, get into an altercation in some
right.
way.
And you got to be aware of the getting into the altercation before it
sometimes.
Happens.
Sometimes.
You know what I mean?
That's got to be powerful because, like, when you walk in, aren't you already predetermined what you're going to do? Like, you don't ever go and say, no, I'm going to buy this, and no, not I'm here, I'm going to steal it. It's like you go in thinking, I'm stealing this.
I'm
yeah,
going
right.
to take this.
Out, right? You know, it's just like.
But you can tell right away when they're about to steal something. Just like if you're cheating on a test, you're looking right at the teacher to see if she's looking at you. You know what I mean? If you're going to steal something, it's like, is that
the
person?
Body cues.
You know,
yeah,
it's like
right.
There's that telltale giveaway. So it's like, if they're going
to
steal something, they're
like
going
to
look
believe,
at you.
I'd like to believe, though, I could stop somebody in their tracks by saying, hey, you have a nice day. That's good. I'd like that.
Yeah. Well, you'd be surprised
little
being
things.
Nice to people
yeah.
like that.
Right.
The little things.
And I always tell people, like, listen, don't make me do my job.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's one of
like,
my favorite lines.
Don't good make me like, do my job. I don't want right. to have to do it. And just, it like, gives them respect. They
sure.
say, you know, like.
You can help them out, too. You can right. like, you know, like, I'm a working guy. Please don't steal from me. But, you know, that guy next to me is a complete asshole. Yeah, I want you to go and steal A, B,
C. He's but, got way better shit than I do.
Shake him down, man. Shake him down.
Right.
It's all about delivering a nice no.
Right.
Yeah. That's the other
Speaking
thing.
Speaking about getting stolen from, didn't you have your logo flag stolen?
Oh, good.
Yeah,
yeah.
What?
Story.
Oh, man.
Have you seen the pictures of this?
What?
This well, is yeah. I'm gonna play on my phone here for a minute because this is the best.
Last year at Modown.
You
last
had,
year? I had my flag flying.
Is there a video of this?
No.
Oh, okay. Close, you're pulling up something
on
the phone.
He's pulling up because... Because
if it's something we can show, we'll show it.
No, we could probably blur out his face, but, you know,
I feel like we
he's...
All
right.
But there was I had my flag flying on my camper over at Modown, and there was a guy that walked by and said that I had a nice flag and something, and, you know, kind of like lead to the dramatic irony and the foreshadowing that this guy might potentially steal my flag later on in the evening. So I got done with like some 26-hour shift working at MoDown. It was time for me to go down, tuck her out, get some a little bit of rest before I got to jump back on the clock. I get to my camper, and it's like 9:30 in the morning, and I see that my flag is gone, and I see that my camper has been, you know, kind of broken and violated a little bit because I had my flag zip-tied to the back ladder that led to the roof. And I walk inside and I ask one of my coworkers that's, you know, rooming with me in my camper. I'm like, hey, did you take my flag in? You know, for some reason, he says, no. I was like, did you hear anybody like take my flag? And he says, no. So I walk outside and I see that there's somebody that has, you know, something that resembles my flag with something tied to it, kind of foxtailing. And it looks like he's trying to throw it over a cable wire that brings, you know, it's, you know, MoDown's on a ski hill. So the cars that go up and down, he's trying to throw the flag on top of this thing. And all of a sudden, I just got so enraged. Like, I literally saw nothing but red. And I erupted. I went at this guy as fast as I could, and I just shook him down. I started yelling and screaming at him. And I terrorized this person. I caused real fear in this guy. And then I was about to just start turning his face into a mashed potato, and then Big Cat over here comes in because he's never seen me get mad, you know, because like our job is always got to keep your composure, be cool, be professional, you know, most importantly, be nice, right? Isn't that like, mm-hmm. you know, that, bouncer 101?
I mean, it's the corniest line from Roadhouse, but it's the truth.
It be is nice, the truth, man.
Be nice again. Yep. Be nice again. Be nice till it's time to not be nice. And get it done as nicely as you can.
But I was just, you know, tired. Right. I was expelled. So all my energy was exhausted. And then the only thing that was left was just rage. And I went after this dude. And I just started yelling in his face. And I'm pointing in his, you know, saying, fuck your mother and everything else in the book. And then Bri, he got scared thinking that I was going to commit murder. Like, this is probably, you know, perceptionally.
Well, with that raspy voice of yours, too, man. You must have scared the shit.
I was mad. I was really, really mad. And, you know, I came upon this guy, and I just wreaked havoc in his life. And I,
So, I mean, in the process of him taking the flag, you know, he broke the ladder on the back of the RV. And, you know, he did cause some real financial damage. You know, the ladder's hanging there, and you know, it's not like it was, this is all about a flag. You know, he'd just come off his shift, and you know, he just kind of walked over. It was the very last day. There's almost like nothing left to do except just watch the show.
It's when everybody's kind of zombie. He's
getting ready to 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and he kind of sees this guy running off, and he looks at us, goes, oh, and he broke the ladder. So I watch Anthony go over there, and then I just kind of something happened. I'm like, let me go find out what's going on over here. So the guy is drunk and he's screaming like, it's a game. I captured your flag, which is not helping Anthony, who's trying to figure out what's going on. You know, I'm just like anybody. All of a sudden, you know, Anthony becomes like a camper to me. You know, he's had something done to him he didn't ask for. Somebody broke his stuff or took his stuff or, you know, we have a certain way of dealing with it. So we took the guy and we took him to his camp and we tried to figure out who he belonged to. And he was still like, a whole bunch of denial, which is the first stage of all this. It ain't me, and I didn't do it. Yeah, but we watched you do it. So we take him up to the office, and we sit him there, and we just kind of let him sweat it out. And we told him, we said, you're going to have to pay for the damage of this, and you're going to have to, you know, we don't know if we're even going to let you stay at that. You know, we don't allow this anywhere. Mm-hmm. And the mere fact that you did it over in a quiet campground, the RV, the one that we all call a quiet campground.
Right.
And, you know, he starts crying. He goes, you know, I've been in trouble where I live. I can't get another charge. And
like crying?
He was definitely crying.
JC was crying in that picture
he
showed
me. We have a picture.
Well, because Jay Steven just said, show the pic of him crying.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like a Michael Jordan face, you know, crying.
So, you know, I mean, to his credit, a few hours later when he had sobered up a little bit and, you know, he was talking to us. You know, Anthony decided not to press any charges and, you know, just basically took like, give me $50 to buy some duct tape and screws to at least fix my ladder on the way home. And I can't do anything about the flagpole and, you know, give me back my flag. And, you know, you have to, you know, to stay, you can stay. So we did end up letting him stay the rest of the day. And his bunk mates had all woken up and they were all very apologetic and And so that was the happiest ending to it. You know, I mean, we could have hung him up a lot, and, you know, we just didn't. Again, that's just something we do. You know, once, you know, once you calm down, you don't want to see anybody leave. You don't want police calls at any of these
things. See, I'm kind of want to see an angry Colenso, but not towards me.
I wish you had seen it. It's such a rarity.
Yeah.
It isn't a rarity. Yeah, I think I may have seen it.
This is from that very same lowdown. Yeah, you did. I don't mind if you guys show this.
Do you ever take Zane on the glove?
This is typical of our
only on the D.
We're talking about why is everybody up.
It actually shifted over on me. Here's Angry Colenso right here. Listen.
Only on the D. Only on the D. Only on the D. Do you have any takes to take down the Goliath? That's great.
I want
man.
That sandwich. I heard that commercial.
You like up for the challenge?
You up? Yeah. Are you up for the challenge? Yeah, man. I feel like Brian, everybody tapped out. 40 minutes.
I feel like I could crush that sandwich.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a naked guy.
That was from that MoDown. That's MoDown.
That's the same one, and this is the
I'm
naked guy.
I'm looking for the picture
around.
Of that guy. So
I need to put it back. Put it up towards the screen.
I mean, I got the picture of the guy on my phone.
Yeah.
There's the
it's not crazy clear because somebody mistook.
Yeah,
Teddy
well, I'm doing
in the
a phone
Ray
picture.
Ray,
off
so
of
that
phone.
Was the thing.
You're not even on the change game. Oh, there you go.
That fella was quoting the Constitution to us over and over again.
He was quoting the
he
Constitution.
He said we should all be free, and I agreed with him. Yeah, I feel like that's a we could agree on.
And
that.
I agreed with him.
Do you ever get some kind of like? Toxic report on what they're on.
I mean, once in a while we get them to, you know, there's EMTs on site all the time.
I always wondered what they're on.
You know, we don't just like keep, you know, we take them immediately to an EMT and, you know, they're the ones that are going to better assess them. You know, almost all these mass gatherings have an EMT or a doctor on site.
Right.
You know, there's an ambulance corps or something. There's always a rig stationed right there. So our job is really to take them from the fire they're dancing in to the EMTs. In the safest manner we can really get them there to us and to them. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's
you know, for certain things there's like telltale
but we get,
signs.
Yeah, we get a little feedback once in a while. They'll tell us, they'll know right away, or they'll tell us, you know, they'll after about an hour they start to clear up a little bit. You know, obviously, you know, drugs aren't like the everlasting gobstopper. You know, they have to like
they have to wear off eventually,
that.
Right?
Sure. And then they're quick to tell people that. Yeah,
this was sent from one of the viewers today.
Yeah,
oh, nice. But where's
let me guess
the,
which
where's
one.
The one of him with the flag? Wow,
that's hilarious.
With the flag?
Yeah, you have that.
I have on the one phone. Where he's crying.
Amigo, so if you can maybe pinpoint it, what's the common denominator of the drug that they're on with these naked people?
The most common drug?
It's
a mixture. Alcohol is the slurry that brings it all together.
Slurry.
But it's dehydration. It's literally no water in their system and whatever drug that they're on. So it's usually no food, no water, alcohol, acid.
Acid.
I guess it depends on like what show it is.
Acid, cocaine, whatever miscellaneous, you know,
cocaine would get you naked.
Well, it's, you know, it definitely, you know, supercharges, you know, and you know, with the dehydration, you know, and the
well, you're probably like 20 beers in.
Yeah, you know, I mean? The acid, you know, definitely sparks something in the brain where you get into a loop. And
yeah, I think it's a mushroom. You know, the mushroom and the acid are definitely the fighting.
Yeah, there's definitely like a blockage in the synapses that's causing people to, you know, like not get out of these psycho breaks, you know, these psychoactive breaks or whatever. You know? So they tend to just... I don't know why.
So I
want to know why,
like,
but I don't know.
Molly,
like you just, can share that.
PCP being another one.
They just get naked.
I sent this to him.
Oh, that flag?
Oh, my God. You put his face on that? That's funny. That's the guy reading
I put his little amigo flag in there, too.
So. Oh, that's nice, amigo. All over a flag, but you know what though? He did do damage to your roof and
yeah.
To
I
that
was violated.
Stuff. I'd be,
man.
I would have been
I'm not
pissed.
Gonna
and somebody touched your shit. You know what I mean?
That's pretty much it too. Don't touch my shit.
Just like what we were saying about someone coming into your campsite.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like it's just a violation. It's you know the
this
one place that you set up.
This also sent to us by a friend of ours.
It's your territory. You know
it is. It really is. I'm trying to find this tear phase too, man.
Hilarious. But your job is, you know, to protect and make sure everybody's right. safe and,
exactly,
and doing
man,
a thing. And then you do get it. You know, listen, I say this a lot, too. When there's alcohol, there's assholes.
Well, and right? like I can imagine that you're just coming off your shift. You probably had to deal with a bunch of assholes earlier in the day. And now, like, you just want to go home and relax. And then this douchebag steals your shit.
Dude, yeah. precisely.
You know, it's like, dude, really?
Have you seen him since?
No.
No, you haven't?
No, he's a Jersey guy.
Oh, he is?
He was claiming that he was... like part of the FAMO crew, and he knew the band, and
they would
like,
be upset with
and
us.
They would be upset with us.
Lose our jobs.
Oh wow!
So we ended up calling in the big guns, uh-huh. and then we're like, "Do you know this person?" And then that's when we, you know, we let him know.
We had an ambassador from production come over and give him the once over and question him deeply, and it turns out none of this is true.
Yeah, he the didn't know the great and powerful Oz.
No. Nope.
So we sent him down, you know, the bad egg dumbwaiter kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
We definitely wonkified him.
People throwing yeah, names around. Sure, no. You gotta love the name droppers, right?
Oh, it's the I know Z, man. I know yep. Z.
I get it.
Oh yeah, what's his first name?
If you got paid every time you heard that,
I wish I did get paid every time.
Every
time,
no matter what bar it is, I know the owner. I know the owner. Well, oh, yeah. I had one guy brought in a fake ID, and he's like, "I know the owner." I'm like,
"Call him up.
You call him up. Let him know that you just brought in a fake ID." You know, like, I'm sure he'll be on my side.
Right. You ever collect them? We did
yes.
for years. I mean,
yes.
I've had like
we used to yeah. at one of the bars I worked at years ago, and we get like
we had that, and one of the waitresses of the bar went on to become a Secret Service agent. True story. So when they came to do the interviews of her previous jobs, because they vet them very well, right? She came and sat in the office and immediately got very aggressive because she looked at the 300 IDs on the bar and immediately informed us we had committed 300 felonies by holding on to these. We're supposed to turn them over. So I never knew that. So I always ask people, so why do you keep them? You know,
well, I think they turned them over. Like, we would keep them as a security,
but
hand
tried.
Them in.
The
and
sheriffs wouldn't. I mean, sometimes they want them, sometimes they don't.
They're like trophies for the bar, though. You know,
yeah.
For the bouncer, like, yeah, look, I got one tonight.
I always
yeah.
wanted to laminate the countertop with them. And then we would just, like, put fake IDs and like a murder.
What would you call that bar? You yeah. know, it's like, because they had that halfpenny pub that was, like, all covered in pennies. You know, it's like, what would you call a bar that's covered in fake IDs?
Fake ID. The ID bar, yeah.
Alias. AKA.
Yeah.
Also known as.
AKAs.
Hilarious.
Eka. We're going down to Eka and get blessed.
Adeline's checking in. She says,
shot night at Eka.
Adeline says she uses her 1 degree of Z anytime she can.
The Z pass. It's called the Z pass. It's like the skip a line type of thing. You go into back door.
Yeah, I'm the back
Z
door.
Z does go in through the back door, doesn't he?
Yeah. Giggity. Not when I'm wearing sleeveless shirts, though.
Yeah.
We won't get into that one. But anyways.
Hey, no guns allowed.
Yeah, I guess not. I guess not, dude. I've been crushing it at the gym lately, too, by the way, fellas. Crushing it.
I know. I could see, man.
Yeah.
You're all traps. I'm
killing
right,
it.
Right over this, the computer screens, man. Like, you're a bulldog.
Man on a mission. Man on a mission. But you got anything you want to plug before we get out of here? We got any upcoming events? Or
that's
like,
it? We're all out of here?
Yeah. Man. Wait, want to hang out longer? We can hang out longer.
I mean, I tell you what, if nothing else, man, the biggest gym and the biggest comeback last couple of years, find your way out to Sterling Stage for Last Days. That'll be good. That's a good little concert venue that just still doing it right. These things are dying out like drive-ins, man. You got to go experience it while you can. They put on a really good show out there, and it's super nice and great people. So Sterling Stage, Last Days.
Nice.
That's the one.
Tyler, that place is magical.
Tyler's checking in. Man. He says they got a wall of shame of IDs.
Oh, you better turn them in. It's illegal to hold on to them. The CIA told you
do
that.
Do something good with
them. Just throw them all in the mailbox. See what happens to them.
what are you supposed to turn it into your local authorities?
Drop them in your local college lobby.
There you go.
Resell them.
$20 for this one. I got a New Jersey one for $50.
Find these students. Call their mothers.
That's a good one. Have you seen this kid?
Do you know your son is letting this ID being used?
He's a real scoundrel out there.
He's a scoundrel.
1 out of 5 children is a disappointment. Here they are.
Look at all these disappointments.
Oh, that's hilarious. Brian, you're always looking for people to hire, right? You're
sure,
always
man.
Looking for employment. So
I mean, they're pretty basic New York State. License is it's a good conduct license. In other words, if you've You have no felonies and no outstanding charges or nothing, because they do a Department of Criminal Justice check on you when they process your application. You know, you're going to be good. It's pretty much a rubber stamp, and, you know, there's a 16-hour course you take 3 months into it that's kind of like lets the state know you're still continuing with your license, and every 2 years you go through an 8-hour refresher. But other than that, it's a learn-as-you-earn job, man. All of them are different, whether you're working at a college or a hospital or doing the boondocks with me in a cornfield one night. I mean, it just happens. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it does. How long you two been together now? I feel like you're dating.
Yeah, right? I feel like you picked out my shirt.
You guys look like you're on vacation.
We're approaching, you know, definitely at a decade, I'll say that, you know, working alongside each other. But
no, it's more than that, man. We go back. Yeah, I mean, but definitely over a dozen. I'm going like 2007.
Yeah, 2006.
Six, seven. Five or six. I figure it was right after I left. I started doing the Johnny Mack thing as soon as I left, so I met you through him.
Oh, six.
Yeah. Johnny Mack. Is that Let's give a nod to Johnny Mack.
Johnny Mack, yeah. Wow.
Johnny, if you're out there, man, you're the maverick. Dude.
He kind of is, huh?
He is, man.
He was a good stepping stone, man.
He was the fire starter.
He was a fire starter.
The Peacekeeper.
The peacekeeper.
Which I always thought was a great name.
It was the best company, man. It was a great name. We kept it for a while with his blessing. So before we turned over and became Westcott and you know, became our own thing, was great helping him with this.
We wear the Peacekeeper at Sterling, you know, with the Westcott on the front. You know? Some still have them. You know, it's a dying
feel
thing.
Like when I first saw it, I thought, oh, this is kind of kitschy and people aren't going to get it. But, you know, everywhere we wore them, people were very receptive. Like,
yes.
Oh, what a great name. There's never anybody like feeling like it was childish or unprofessional. They're always quick to like immediately get the.
Yeah, it goes back to really that security. What's that disarming, you know?
Yeah, it's friendly almost.
Right.
You know?
Keeping the peace. That's all you're there for.
Yeah,
PK. I guess the UN's onto something. We'll just call them peacekeepers. We'll be good, man. Give them white trucks and white hats.
But Johnny Mack is the catalyst of all this.
He's a big part of it.
He's the reason why I know you. Yeah,
that's how we got. Yeah, that's how me and Z got teamed up.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, all through pretty much the same.
Yep, because after the Saranac season, I teamed up with Johnny Mack. Johnny Mack found me the Utica Clubhouse to, you know, get my bouncing, you know, bearings at. And then after that, kind of.
I was trying to run the Lost Horizon in a strip club next door. And we had some bouncers, you know, so we're just like, hey. You know, we called Johnny Mack, and Johnny Mack took us all under his wing and, you know, gave us all a little opportunity, and we ran with it, so.
I miss Mac.
I do too.
I miss that guy.
So he's out there in Salamanca somewhere.
I heard he's like a sous chef, like cutting someone else's food. Like living with his mother. That's the last I heard about him.
Oh, that's tough.
I don't know. But I miss him very much, and hopefully he's out there. I'm still friends with him on Facebook, and so hopefully hopefully he'll chime in, and I don't know. Well, I'm gonna share this on his podcast so he heard that.
He's got a podcast?
Oh, good. I love it.
Clint's going to tell a story when he kicked his ass.
Podcast in Western New York.
Yeah. Exactly. I met on his Facebook. I don't know.
Tell him to at me.
At you. Nah, I'm kidding. But, no, it's cool that and I totally forgot. That he's the whole reason behind it.
He's John McLaughlin now. I know that. He doesn't go by the surname Johnny Mack. That was a whole alter ego. Yeah. I know he had to put a kibosh to that. He's John McLaughlin.
Thank God. And put that one in. Oof. But anyways. That was 2006?
2006, my man.
That was way back.
That was some Dickie Betts era.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Dickie Betts at Sterling States. It was...
Sterling Stage, you did mention that, and I should talk about Sterling Stage while we're on the subject really quick. That place is awesome.
Incredible.
And what Eric does over there is incredible. And I haven't been there in a few years. It's been a while since I've been there, so I imagine it's changed a little bit since I've been there.
I feel like Eric needs to be in, what the Sammys?
I feel like there is, like, a lifetime achievement award for people like Eric that have, you know, like right now he's taken over the Blues Fest and has become...
Huge.
A whole another animal. It's huge. He's
added an extra day.
Almost everything he touches has like some roots in the wanting to be a better part of like the music scene or the community. So I like him. I've known him for it seems like a dozen years also, and he stayed the same guy, man. He doesn't change his message. Super great, and
he is consistent, man. And that's what a work reputation is based on.
Yeah, man.
Is definitely consistency and work integrity and, you know, just doing the right thing on a regular basis.
Like, they didn't do the Jazz Fest this year in Syracuse. First year in many, many years that they haven't done it. But, I mean, however it works, I like to see that whole Blues Fest, Jazz Fest.
Definitely.
That would
be a great mesh or a blend.
It would be great.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, put a pitch in. Somebody give me Johnny Mahoney's number.
That's a shame, Jed.
Making phone calls.
Yeah, we're making work for ourselves, man.
Hire us for this job.
Are they just taking a year off from Jazz Fest? Or
don't know.
They,
yeah, it's probably just a restructuring thing.
It's like it was a no-news thing. I was very shocked by it. It's
yeah.
You know,
we got to get Frank on the horn.
I mean, it's probably not going to be like a Toby Keith restaurant kind of thing where they just pack up and hit the road, you know?
That was quick. That was so quick.
Yeah, how long was that restaurant open for? About like a month?
Who knows? I think the bogey was open longer.
Hilarious. Dude, you guys go shopping together?
You like that, right?
Did you guys show up in an RV?
No, we're actually jeeping today, man. I got the doors and the top and all the Jeep's pegs. Naked outside, man.
The Jeep peg, something I never wasn't aware existed.
This is like some Jeep attire, man. We look like we're about to have a great time. Doesn't matter where we go. Right?
Yeah, yeah, you do look like you're about to have a good time. Or go play nine somewhere.
I still think they look like narcs.
Brian looks like a narc on vacation. Like an undercover. I'm sure a lot of people think you're like an undercover cop.
I get a lot of extra respect at places. I walk up to something, they're like, yes, sir. Yeah, I didn't even say anything.
Call me an asshole right now.
Yeah.
Even like when you're on vacation or something, huh?
Yeah, it's tough, man.
That's right.
Okay, Adam's just checking. He says, love those peacekeepers.
I do have a tendency to talk to people directly, like, I need a room. Let's do it now. You know, I would just kind of like, you know, move this along.
Yeah.
People tend to listen a little bit more.
That authoritative tone, I try to inflect it into those key moments when I need it.
Can you go to a show as a spectator?
Yeah.
And, like, not zone out the crowd?
Well, I mean, I feel like I like people. Like, to be in this industry, you've got to like people. So, like, I love crowds. That's my thing. Like, even if it's music I'm not necessarily, like, personally attached to, if I go with six of my friends and there was 4,000 other people and they're all into this guy, I'm totally going to have a great time. So I love crowds of people, fairs, festivals, you name it. So I go all the time and I have a great time, even when I'm working. But I do go to shows. Mm-hmm. I make these guys work them in. I'll take a day off.
See, my problem is when I go to a show, I watch the crowd more than I watch the band or whatever.
But that's the fun, right? People watching is the all-time favorite. It's the cheapest, most entertaining thing you've ever done in your life.
No doubt.
And I notice I'm looking up more now.
Yeah.
I'm looking up. Everywhere I go, anytime I'm in a crowd, I'm working at a bar, I'm always looking up now like, okay, that's a church. That could be someplace somebody could be at. Like,
I'm looking different. Like, I always look at the guy, and I think it's a $60 ticket, and I got 60 people staring into their phones. And I'm like, what a waste of money, man. They're just like, they're coming to not enjoy this event.
Right. Unless you're Alex Alzheimer, and then you're looking on the ground for every one of those dropping shit.
Yeah. I do that at the end of the night. Floor gold, absolutely.
The ground scores, man.
Yep.
That's some concert, you know, lottery.
You'd be surprised what you find on the floor.
I found a chair at Modown that I still have to this day.
Big guy chair.
Yeah, the Max Daddy, man. That thing is held up through the test of time. Yep.
So thank that Wookiee out there for losing that.
This thing is incredible.
Behind.
It's like it's made for big guys. It fits, I think it's like 550 in the bucket, and then I think it's like 350 on the arms. So that's a big boy chair, man.
Yeah.
I still got it. I'm obviously not that size. I could sit there with my lady in my lap and still be good.
Nice.
I know it holds me. I like it.
You tried stealing it from
first
a
time
times.
I came. I have
That's
tried to
test.
Get it from a few times. I've tried to horse trade it for a few things over the years, and I always come up empty. But you know, he's open to the talk anyway. So one day it'll be mine. It'll just I feel like the ground score just makes it more valuable. Yeah,
so. There's a story behind it. He didn't just go out and buy it. There's,
no,
you know?
It was right. 5 minutes ahead of me. It would have been my chair.
It was right after the Rage Lincoln speech at Modown.
Oh, the Rage Lincoln speech. That was epic. That's classic, actually.
It is. It's some Modown history.
I think at Mo...
You ended up seeing him at summer camp, didn't you?
Yeah, I got selfies with him and everything. That you made me lose my train of thought.
I'm sorry, man.
Rage I was thinking about Rage Lincoln, though. That guy is that guy's a trip, for sure. Rage Lincoln.
He definitely tripped down the hill a lot that evening.
Yes, he did.
What is your strangest floor find?
My strangest floor find?
Yeah, your best ground score. Other than that chair. Do you got another one other than that chair?
There was this one night I was working at a bar. And no bar in particular. At the end of the night, I'm sweeping up. And I end up finding, I think it was like 5 separate grams of cocaine.
Dude, last summer I found a $20 bill. Pack the coke.
So
gave it to the cops.
And it came from this one girl in particular that she was wearing a tube top and she wasn't wearing a bra that evening. And every time that she was like putting her cocaine in her boobs, it just kept falling out the bottom. So I think that's what it was from, because I did see it happen once. And at the end of the night, I ended up sweeping up all this cocaine that was still bagged up. And I when I have it on the bar, because I swept it into the dustpan, it was during the time that there was like this big craze that there was like this flesh-eating bacteria in the cocaine. But I ended up throwing it out. I ended up giving it to somebody. Not necessarily giving it to somebody, but they went into the bathroom. They tried it. they said there was no flesh-eating bacteria.
Probably one of my friends.
Probably. But we ended up just throwing it all out because everyone was scared.
No, you do.
So
no,
a bunch of people were snorting off the dustpan, right? Is that what you're saying?
We'll say that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But it was that was probably like the most expensive floor find, I'll say. You know, but that's just one of them that I could pull out like out of the top of my head. And there's probably a lot of them out there.
It's always the cleanup, isn't it?
It's usually the cleanup.
It's always the cleanup.
That's why at the end of the night at some of these concerts, like after everybody's gone, people are just scouring the grounds, you know, flashlights and, you know, heads down. You know, they're kicking cups. They're flipping, you know, people's like overturned, nachos and burritos.
They're either cleaning up or they're the real professional grounds course. You know, bars. Bars are always going to be the best place to find stuff.
Yeah, definitely money and drugs at the bar,
I found a golf club head, just a big furry cover that goes over it, like three or four small bags of weed in it. You know, three or four bouncers, you clean up the pre-party in the parking lot, everybody leaves, owner said, y'all pick up all the bottles and stuff. Three or four guys that had to be walked, they thought it was a rat. You know, it was like a big furry thing. I kind of kicked it, it wasn't a rat. And I'm like, it was like, holy crap, there's weed in it. Someone's like, yeah, you find all that stuff at bars, man. You find money.
Yes.
You find a lot of money, man.
Yeah, lots of money. You know,
the Westcott Theater's been lucrative. I got to believe I found probably over $200.
And that's not from
documents. Five. They're dirty, though. I mean, floor just has a way of staying extra wet by the bar.
And then there's people that do like that other scoundrel shit, and I'll use that word again. Well, like they'll put like a $5 bill in the urinal. You know what I mean? So it's like people are pissing on it all night. Who's going to fucking take it? You know, that kind of shit. You know, bar romantics. Those are always fun. I like hijinks.
You always got to look at floor at a bar. Always. I remember Electric Company went out. I found like $20 in ones just sitting on the floor.
That was probably
all together.
The rail. Wherever the bar is, just kind of walk along. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely.
Get a free drink out of it.
Looking for the ground.
Well, even at, you know, a Saranac concert, if you're looking on the ground, you could definitely find beer tickets all over the place. You got free beer.
Fall out
night,
of your pocket and stuff.
Like, just incredible.
That's
all
your
day.
Story.
Doesn't matter what color, they'll take it.
I found a $50 bill on the ground once, just sitting there. Nobody walked outside.
All rolled up?
No, it was flat. No, but I did find a 20 all rolled up. But it actually had some shit in it last year. And I was like, whoa. Gave that to the police officers. I want nothing to do with
it. It's always funny. I always see these tiny sandwich bags, but I never see these tiny sandwiches that, you know, go into these bags. You know what I mean?
You ever feel like when, like, you just said that, you give, like, your drugs or whatever you find to a cop, you ever feel like they're like, why didn't you just throw it in the garbage? Why are you making this my job?
Well, because it's in a $20 bill.
It's
like,
yeah,
I don't
it's
know.
Like, it's like a bowl full of weed. It's like, just pretend you never gave that to me and go throw it in the garbage.
Right.
Yep.
But.
Actually, last night
there was
a funny encounter last night with some of the UPD and some of the spectators at the show at Revolution last night.
Mm-hmm.
And this one kid runs over to the cop and he goes, "Hey, man, I'm gonna smoke this. Is that cool?"
For real?
Yeah. Like he's like, "I'm gonna." And the guy was just like, the cop just shook his head and just went, "Go over there." He goes, "Go away.
Shoe Wook, don't bother.
Go away." But it's just you could tell the kid. You could tell the Wook was really drunk and just like, "I'm gonna tell ask the cop if I can smoke this joint." You know, is in that.
He's gonna
mode.
Post it on Facebook later.
And the cop just shook his head. He's like, "Go get away from me. Go get away from me. Do what you're gonna do.
I'm jump." Not- Get out of here, scram.
Anyways.
Beat it.
You guys got a gig? You don't have a gig tonight. Tomorrow?
No, we got tonight off.
Yeah, tonight's off, man. It's
tomorrow?
It's why you got us today, man. Nice. You know, we could work tomorrow if we really wanted to, but, you know, Saturday is the big day. We got a big show.
We got JP's anti-violence thing up in Watertown.
Oh, yeah, that's this weekend.
Yeah, that's worth giving a quick shout.
That's this weekend?
Up there, yeah.
With All
Maggie's
That Remains?
River. Yeah.
Right on. Big ups to JP, man. He's an old school friend and... He's doing the anti-violence show. Again, this is like his second installing of that. And the first one was huge.
Yeah.
We had him up. In fact, JP was the one who gave us that palette art right there on the wall. The Hulk.
Yeah, I saw like he's always posting it on his Facebook. Some of his stuff's great. Yeah, that's a nice piece.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I love that. And JP gave that to us. He was on here. And So much love and respect out to JP. He's doing really good things with that. So that's this Saturday.
Yeah, we have Old Crow Medicine Show at Omi Gang. Dan Smalls presents show, and then we're going to go up to SPAC and help them out for Dave Matthews.
Wow, you're busy.
Wow.
We are.
Yeah, man.
It's a triple dipping.
Yeah.
You're a triple dipper, Brian.
Small crews, but, you know, send the right guys to the right places. Right. And, you know, we're a good supplement for other bigger venues, and that's another niche that, you know, we really help with a lot. Is, you know, we work well with so many other teams and crews that, you know, we get called back frequently. So that's good. You know, when they have bigger stuff and they need the extra guys, they look for another watch guard patrol company to help them supplement.
And that's us, man.
Yeah.
We got you.
And your crew's legit.
Fantastic, legit. Man. That skill set's welcome everywhere.
And
people
you
really love them.
You have many, many guys that you can rely on, which is good. You're lucky, including Mr. Amigo over here.
That's how we get down, man. That's how we fly our flags all over the place.
Only on the D. Yeah.
I love that.
Only on the D.
Are you working next Friday?
I can give you a definite perhaps.
Well, what's next Friday? Oh.
Oh, that's no, I'm not working. No. I made sure I'm not working. I will be there.
At the Electric Company reunion party next Friday.
EC reunion party, man.
EC reunion party. It's going down next Friday. We're partying down at Wakeley's, the old EC. 700 Varick Street. Come on down. It's going to be a good time. We have Blackberry Smoke. Yeah, that's the Blackberry Smoke show. Like, I know. But, hey, listen.
What time does that start?
And I'm telling all my friends.
What time does the party start?
We're starting kind of early.
The band goes on at 9.
The band's on at 9.
We'll be there early doing a show.
Yeah,
we'll be there all day and night. But that's going down. We do have Blackberry Smoke over at Paper Mill that night. And
You're going to be at your party.
I have to be at my party, of course. I'm the one that booked it.
You can't just sit at the party.
I'll be there, and I'm not working Paper Mill.
You're not late if you don't show up.
One of the perks.
But I know some of the crew was like, man, why'd you book the same day as Blackberry Smoke? I booked this show way before you guys booked Blackberry Smoke. Way before. This was booked back in February, believe it or not.
Where's Chuck going to be? That's what I want.
Chuck's going to be Blackberry. I don't know. It'd be great if he was with me, though.
Maybe have Nardi run that.
Nardi run anything would be amazing.
No, he's
a... Anyways, that's going down. The EC reunion party next Friday over at Wakeley's. Moon Boot Lover providing the entertainment. I hope to see a bunch of my own friends there, man, including Moon Boot Lover. And Cooney's saying that's what's up. I know Cooney and the crew is going to be out.
That's what's up, Cooney.
That's a cool band, man. I saw him on a blues train down out of Cooperstown.
And it's funny you mention that. The reason why they're playing that day is because on Saturday they're playing the blues train in Cooperstown.
What a good time that train was. Ever, man. It was fantastic.
Oh, I remember you invited me that last
good,
year.
Man. Yep.
It's a lot of fun.
Sean.
Yeah.
Sean from Omegang,
You take the cruise on the train and Moon Boot's playing. You drink a bunch of beers. You come back, relax. It's a great, it's a really, really cool
thing. It's a hidden gym. You don't even know that's there until you actually pull in like a little train lot and you realize they do like cowboy trains and I almost want to do one of the little kid ones and be on like a train robbery. Yeah. You know, they have pretty good ones.
Yeah, the Loomis gang. They do that for the Adirondack Scenic Railroad.
Yep.
So I want to see all my old friends over at the EC reunion party next Friday night at Wakeley's. We're going to start, you know, get there around 7-ish. We're going to do some podcasting and hanging out. And DJ East One's going to be there spinning some classic hip hop and some soul and old school R&B and some funk. So, and then Moon Boot Lover at 9 o'clock. So, talk to my boys from Saranac. They're going to be delivering some prizes and giveaways for us. So, we're going to have some hats and T-shirts and whatever else Saranac can provide for us. So I'm looking forward to that. Throwing some stuff out. And, yeah, who knows? Got some tricks up our sleeves, too. We're going to be making some big announcements, too, when we're there. And I'm not going to make that announcement until we make that
announcement. He's not even telling me.
I like announcements for announcements. Those are my favorite.
I am making an announcement for an announcement, and that announcement is going to happen at the EC reunion party next Friday.
Oh.
Announcement before the announcement.
So you're like that chick on Facebook that puts, you know, fuck my life. And then when people are like, what's wrong? Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, if you want to know the big announcement, and we'll be talking about, of course, after the reunion, we'll be making that announcement. But during the reunion, we're going to talk about what we got going on. We got some shit up these things. Ooh. Sleeves that I don't wear and can't get let in the bars for not wearing. Anyways,
he's got sleeves on today.
Is that still a rule?
Believe it or not.
You're promoting violence.
It's summertime. It's summertime. I don't wear sleeves. I'm lucky. I can't believe I got them on today.
I know. I'm surprised.
Anyways. EC reunion party Friday night. Come on out for that.
Yeah.
I can't wait. So maybe you guys
only
can make
on the
it.
D. Only on the D.
Maybe you guys can make it. I hope you could.
I will.
Brian's like, I'm coming.
I will be there.
Only on the D.
I love that.
You.
Anyhow, Anything else you want to plug before we get out of here?
I got nothing, man.
You got nothing?
I got nothing.
I'm so glad. Thank you so much for coming, man. This was a lot of fun, chopping it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just knowing about, you know, security and, like, I know about security. But yeah. we could
definitely get a good debriefing. I mean, this is, you know.
I was a little intimidated.
We pop Ryan's cherry, you know.
It's just like this media thing's like your thing. You're such a natural personality here, man. I'm not my, you know, it's tough. I'm sweating. I got sweaty. I feel like that roast. I'm just up there. My palms are sweating. You know, yeah. I'm trying to.
It's a knees weak. Arms are
heavy. Yes. Chucky loves roast.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, that's right. You know, Brian, I didn't even write a joke for you. I didn't even write. And I was like, you know, I can't believe I didn't get one in there
Everybody
for Brian.
We said that. We got nothing bad to say about him.
We got nothing bad to say about him.
And plus, good when you're at a roast.
That's how you know you made it, man.
I crucified everybody on that panel but you. Damn.
Yeah, appreciate
that. No, I wanted to get you.
We should have more of those. I mean,
we need another one.
One for you. I'd like to see that again. That was good.
That was a great roast.
Yeah. But we got to find somebody that would do it.
Maybe Chucky or Fred Matt.
Fred Matt, we've talked about that with Fred.
Wow, Fred Matt would be a great candidate.
I mean, that's it's a tough one. You
that's an echelon and, roast. You
know. I already have my speech for that written, done, signed, sealed, delivered. If we roast Fred Matt, that's it. He's done.
That'd be good. We should roast Chippy. We could roast the classic family.
Here's the thing, too, is you got to find somebody who can be able to dish it back out. They got to be able to take it, but you got to be able to dish it back out. You know, and Chucky loves roast was hilarious.
That was great.
That was a lot of fun. That was. Yes. So, guys, thanks so much for coming in. Before we get out of here, though, I do got to give love to our sponsors. If you need legal help, quick.
You better call Nick.
I seen him last night at Revolution. He was out there hanging out, taking pictures with the band and stuff. And our boy Nick Pasalacqua doing big things in the community. If you need legal help, quick. Call Nick, 315-500-NICK, or hit him up online at cnytriallaw.com. It's Thursday, chicken. So that means tomorrow off. Probably do a live Facebook, though. I like doing those on Friday. Just like, hey, here I am. Don't forget about me. And whatever.
Look at me. Anyways, look at me.
And then Sunday we'll be over at the brewery for Dispatch, the Saranac Brewery. Yes. So come on out for that. Need it, more information, buy some tickets, www.cctix.com. Go. Much love to our boy Chuck Chao, of course. He's like the glue that kind of holds us all together in a way.
Roast him.
Yeah. We thought about it, but I don't know, pal. You know, I don't know if I want my dirty laundry out there. And, you know, I believe me, I've asked him so many times. And then people are like, it's too easy to roast Chao. But that's the beauty of it. And it would be for charity. Roast just to roast.
Right.
I know he would. Uh-huh. He would. He would be laughing the loudest.
Yeah. I got him a couple times at Chucky's roast. I had to. That was fun.
You could always put Stacy up there.
Stacy? Would be good, and she's been a part of a couple panels before. She was on mine, and of course Chucky's, and she's good. She's always got great singers.
Yeah, she is.
If she's into it, we'll find a good charity that she's behind, and maybe raise some money for that. It's got to be for charity, though. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to do a roast for charity. That's how it goes. I do want to remind everybody they can listen to this podcast and previous podcast of all the cool content we have on the D at DisruptionNetwork.net. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like us on Facebook. All the social media platforms, we got them down. We got them cornered. We're there. All you got to do is like, comment, subscribe, like, share, all that stuff. So that's what we're doing. Barn burner of a week next week, chicken. We got Root Shot coming in next week. Peter Prince is going to be calling in. We've got... who else is here? Hopefully our boy Paul from Wakeley's is going to be coming in, too, to talk about that. And off the top of my head, I can't remember, but I know there's like two guests each day. So we're busy, real busy. So you got anything you want to plug before you're out here?
No.
If you're out at Saranac Thursday tonight, do not be a dick.
Right, yes.
Don't be a dick. All right? Drink water. Hydrate. You know?
Hydrate or dehydrate, man.
You need to hydrate. That's our PSA for the day, so... Yeah. And we'll see you on Monday, right? Pretty much we'll be back on Monday. We'll see you on Monday. See you guys.
Bye.
We are a generation of lost masculinity, and we got to start getting it back. No matter if you're straight or gay, no matter if you stick it in the front or you stick it in the rear, for the love of our sons, we've got to stick it in there like a man. Never you mind what I'm making. You should spend some time taking a personal inventory of what you're doing for the betterment of society.
EC Radio.
Get excited. It's the Electric Company Reunion Party, Friday, July 20th at Wakely, 700 Varick Street. That's right, 700 Varick Street, the old EC. We're getting the gang back together, and we're partying old EC style. Peter Prince and Moon Boo Lover will be providing the live entertainment. It's only a $5 cover at the door. Live broadcast from the D, raffles, games, prizes, and a few special announcements we're going to be making on this night. Get excited, because you know there ain't no party like an EC party, because an EC party don't stop. Friday, July 20th at Wakely's. See you there.
The Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley was born when three top producing agents with over 25 years of combined experience selling real estate joined forces to take real estate to the next level. We practice with honesty, integrity, and the knowledge to help make the buying and selling process easy and stress-free for all of our clients. We pledge to always make our clients our top priority from start to finish and even after the house is closed. We will always be a valued resource for information and assistance for our buyers and sellers. Our customers over the years have become not only past clients, but great friends. As we join hands together as the Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley, we look forward to serving our clients and our community and making a positive difference. You can reach us at 315-601-9630 for all of your real estate needs.
Hi, this is attorney Nick Passalacqua. The team of attorneys I have assembled at Passalacqua & Associates has been carefully hand-picked to include the best trial attorneys in the particular areas of the law that we practice. Have you been charged with DWI or any other crime? Members of our team include former assistant district attorneys, now fighting to protect your rights 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have you or someone you love been seriously injured in a motor vehicle accident? Members of the team at Passalacqua & Associates include former insurance defense attorneys, now fighting to ensure that you get every penny you're entitled to. If you need legal help quick, don't waste your time or money calling anyone else. Remember, for legal help quick, you better call Nick and the team at Passalacqua & Associates. 315-500-NICK or 315-500-6425 or visit cnytriallaw.com today.
Only on the D!